Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So this is where we'll do our analysis. As you know, we look at market fundamentals, risk sentiment, and also the technical charts, and we'll identify where we're likely to get that the better, higher quality, higher probability trades. So without further ado, let's get straight into it then. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Hope you all had a good weekend. Good to have you join us again. Please see our risk warning currently up on screen. As always, do take on board the risks behind trading financial markets. Take them seriously almost, and just put down a bit of a strategy behind your exposure. The one thing we make sure we always do is we prevent ourselves from taking big losses. And you do that if you've got a strong risk management approach. So that's what we'd always be advocates of. Okay, so all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade. So trade selection, that's where this session comes in and hopefully will prove quite useful. And also determining not just what are we trading and why are we trading it, but where are we looking to get into those markets and what directional bias we have. Exit as well. Along with our ability to manage risk. So how much of our capital are we committing to each trade? We make these decisions prior to entry. You know, this is something that we don't mess with during the trade. We accept the risk fully at the point of entry, and then that allows us to kind of focus on managing the trade and booking in profits and things like that. Trade management as well, very important. If the market moves in your favor, what decisions do you make consistently to make sure, again, you remove risk first? Once you've broken even or you're in a bit of profit in a trade, you know, that's the enjoyable part of trading markets. You know, it's the less sort of mentally taxing part of trading. It's the more enjoyable element. So we want to try and get there as quickly as we can, as often as we can. Along with trade psychology, these markets, they're kind of a living, breathing organism that have their own psychology, as well as you yourself as an individual. You've got your own psychology. You've got your own needs, wants, desires, pleasures, threats, you know, it's all formulates. So these are all very important topics, of course, when it comes to trading financial markets. And we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms. When we talk about each trade, you know, these are the elements that we want to break down for you as best we can. And we are strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, no matter what's happening, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. Okay, so let's start with a review of potential market moving news then. So you may be familiar, on Friday we had, let me go back to last week first before we have a look at this week's news. Again, a few bank holidays at the beginning of last week. And really last week was all about US jobs. So would we start seeing the weakness in the jobs number? The answer is no. Collectively, big uptick in US job openings. So the number of jobs available in the US took a little bump higher. Okay, so you're thinking, okay, still solid job numbers. And then we got on Wednesday of last year, we got ADP, which actually came in much weaker. We're thinking, okay, well, these forecasters don't seem to be particularly good when it comes to job numbers over the last couple of years. So, you know, could the job numbers actually start to show weakness, perhaps a little bit earlier than probably we'd anticipate? And then we get unemployment claims, which come in a little bit higher. So you're thinking, okay, well, non-farm payroll on Friday is going to be a really, really interesting one. And would it start to show signs of weakness? And the ultimate answer to that is no, because the unemployment rate is sticking at 4.2. Non-farm payroll numbers come in above expectations and average hourly earnings are increasing. So people are earning more. Inflation hasn't really hit the fan just yet. We haven't seen significantly elevated inflation around the tariff story feed through just yet. And it looks like the job numbers are still in a very, very strong position. So as a result, do the Fed... Are the Fed able to cut rates right now? The answer is no. We'll have to see. As soon as these numbers start to weaken, then the likelihood of a Fed rate cut probably increases. So, you know, a really good, useful news event to sort of keep your mind on, or keep focused on. So today now, there's a lot happening, of course, with Donald Trump and his fallout with Musk last week. And now he's, over the weekend, he's brought in the National Guard in the streets of California, and there's rioting. And it's all just very, very chaotic, messy stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's a bank holiday today in a number of jurisdictions again. Bit of disruption, of course, as a result. But bank holiday for the Australian economy, Swiss, French and German. So it has the potential to be a little bit of a quieter morning as a result. And we've had Chinese inflation numbers come out. Bit of a mixed bag, really. Producers, they're taking a bit of a solid hit, coming in significantly negative, minus 3.3% on the year-on-year number from a producer price index perspective. So those prices are dropping a lot more quickly and more significantly than the consumer prices. They're pretty solid, minus 0.1, a little bit better than what was expected. So, okay, so look, from a news perspective, a news scheduled news event, there's not really a huge amount for us to deal with. There's certainly a lot more for us to deal with from a global macro geopolitical perspective, and we should continue to sort of monitor and keep an eye on these things. So tomorrow we've got some UK job numbers. We'll see how that impacts the pound tomorrow. And then we've got some inflation numbers on Wednesday for the US economy. So will the US economy start to see elevated inflation off the back of sort of Trump tariff chaos? Well, these numbers are beginning to suggest, yes, we may start seeing a little bit of elevated inflation coming in. Now, we are at very acceptable levels for inflation. So if the Fed see rates stick around between 2 and 2.5%, it will be very, very pleased. Now, we've been in a bit of a downward trend. Coming in last month at 2.3, we had a 2.4 back in October of 2024. So although we're getting a little sort of 20 basis point bump, it's really not very much. So if we got 2.7, 2.8, it might change the picture. Maybe 2.6 might cause a bit of fear and anxiety. But especially if the month-on-month numbers, if they come in as they currently are, maybe a bit elevated on the core inflation side. So really, we're looking for, are we likely to see elevated inflation? Because we've got this little window of opportunity where, you know, it might not start showing up on the numbers perhaps till July, especially on the corporate side as well. So we get a little bit of a better look at inflation July, August, September. Now, it's not to detract from the fact that if we see inflation ticking a little bit higher now, that it could create a bit of a narrative around, you know, worrying inflation over the next 2-3 months. If we were above 3%, that would be beginning to be a bit of a concern for the Fed. So it's understandable why the Fed want to stay higher for longer. And that's why we think Wednesday we were talking about potentially with the job numbers that actually we got no real need to start cutting rates. So we were leaning into more of a weaker indice market and a stronger dollar. Now we got the stronger dollar part of the equation. Now actually we're potentially looking to see if that's likely to unwind, because we do have these bond yields ticking higher as well. So it's not a particularly clear market dynamic, and a lot of people are really talking about not just inflation, but of course longer term bond yields, which are showing signs of let's say concern. Just before we do a quick review of that, we've also got core PPI numbers. So they're looking relatively, as far as the forecasts are concerned, relatively stable and solid. So really, perhaps no massive impact on financial markets as things stand. And then Friday, we're going to close out consumer sentiment and inflation expectations. Sentiment pretty low for the US economy, certainly down at these lower levels. The lows in here were the 50.2, so we're just above. Pretty weak sentiment, and we've got this dynamic where the University of Michigan inflation expectations have been running away with themselves, you could say. So looking really spiky. This would, in a normal run of things, this would be really quite concerned to suggest that there's something really significant ticking away in the background here. So it's a week for inflation starting Wednesday with core CPI. Apart from that, it's worth keeping an eye on these bond yields, because if we break these down, so we'll put that in the middle there. Let's put the 2 year just on the left hand side. We're only really interested in the numbers. And even the 30 year, which we have to. So you've got to be just over 4%. Sorry, guys, just bear with me there a second. Did we lose you briefly? Okay, I think we're back. Sorry about that. Okay. Sorry there, everyone. We just got cut off briefly. Apologies. Just commenting really on the US bond markets. So everyone's really expecting these to rally. But in actual fact, we were significantly higher just in January. We've done a bit of analysis last week on that. So we're really waiting for the 2 and the 10 year to actually make a move. And we're slightly elevated on the 10 year. So we're below the prices. The bond yields are back in January for the 2 year. We're slightly elevated on the 10 year, but we are significantly more elevated on the 30 year. And that's where all the pressure points are coming from. And I think there is a bond auction, long-term bond auction this week. And we're very, very close to that sort of warning sign around 5% when it comes to US bond yields. And it just simply means that the cost of refinancing debt is increasing quite significantly over the longer term, which impacts a lot of your mortgage companies and insurance companies and that end of the market. So it is quite significant, because what they're saying is, if you want us to, and obviously countries as well, they purchase government debt and corporates do as well. Now, it just means that because of the way that the risks are unfolding, bond traders are looking to, they're wanting bigger returns for their investment and saying, right, well, if we're going to lend you the cash, you're going to have to pay us a little bit more than perhaps what you'd be willing to do perhaps a year ago, for example. So it just means escalating risks ticking away in the background. Now, what's strange is that these are not really playing out on the front end. So you think the near-term consequences of what's going on would impact the 2 year a little bit more. And it's just not doing so. It's quite an interesting position that we're pretty much at the same price that we were back in March. So, all right, we're a bit up, we're a bit down, softened a little bit, and now we're sort of looking a little bit more toppy, but we've not really made any move at all in the bond markets at those lower ends. So the move has occurred over the longer end of that yield curve. So just something to just monitor and keep in mind, because if those numbers get above 4% on a 2 year, significantly higher, above 4.5 on the 10 year, and then above 5% on the 30 year, you know, that's, again, it continues to make these markets a very, very interesting place. Just wanted to share a little bit of sort of, because we've got a bit of a quiet day today, I wanted to just share some directional bias with you. And that bias revolves around, well, let's do the clear cut bias first of all. Firstly, a weaker dollar. We also have dynamics which could support a bit of a stronger euro, stronger pound potentially as well, against that dollar. So there's likely to be, these are all monthly timeframes, and there's likely to be further upside. You can see we're above last month's highs, not quite there just yet in markets like the pound. And the bias is very much to the upside. So we're actually, we had to hold back on Friday because we were seeing prices move in the opposite direction to what we were looking for. But we don't want to be distracted from the trade that we're looking to get into, which is around dollar weakness. And there's potentially further opportunities for us to do that. Gold is an interesting one because what we've done is we've been in a strong rally to the upside. Last month is pretty indecisive. And all we've really done is just pretty much move sideways. So lower highs, lower lows. So if you look at these highs, last month we traded inside those levels and currently we're still trading inside those levels. So there's a narrowing of price action there for gold. So everyone's saying, oh, we've had a few conversations recently about why aren't we buying and selling gold? Because we're kind of in this consolidated phase right now. So maybe it will present some good buying opportunities in the not too distant future. Right now, it's not looking great. So look what's happening in markets like crude oil. We've got the potential for this price to rally a little bit higher, but our overall bias is still to the downside. So whenever this starts to roll over to the downside, our bias, and let's just for argument's sake put our bias as well into these markets for gold, we think we're very likely to get another leg to the upside. So that's our directional bias. Now, equity prices are, as you can see, we've got this V-shaped recovery. Not just Donald Trump, this is DeepSeek as well. And we've seen this massive move to the downside and then the massive pivot with Donald Trump changing his mind. And you're hearing a little bit more about, you know, Taco, that when things get a bit hairy, Donald Trump always chickens out. And when he chickens out, that's really good news for markets because it means he can't deliver on some of the things that he wants to deliver on. So as to whether that's the end of Donald Trump, it seems very, very unlikely. We've got the reciprocal tariff expiration date of the 9th of July, which is only a month's time. You know, we're literally talking about 4 weeks now, just over 4 weeks. And who knows what he's going to come out with next. I mean, the courts haven't been able to rein him in to any great extent just yet. And will he find workarounds and things like that? Very well may look to do that. So we're going to just take a step back and just do a little bit of an overview. We've got our monthly market review in your members area if you want to have a look at that, where we go into some of these markets in a little bit more detail. But we wanted to just take this opportunity to just say, look, on the bigger time frames. So just to conclude, really, what is our bias for the S&P and the NASDAQ? Well, short term, it's probably to the upside. We would have to conclude slightly longer term, we've got a little bit more of a question mark. That might not surprise you. There is arguments to support real significant upside if you're looking at sort of AI and tech and the innovations and the productivity that's likely to bring about, then that is potentially a catalyst for some better corporate earnings and a little bit of increased productivity for the US economy. So that is a dynamic in which this could rally. We're very close to all-time highs now. So short term is probably a short term potential window to continue to see upside. The problem comes if inflation starts to spike, if unemployment numbers start to shift higher, and we start seeing this recession begin to kick in. If we start seeing those big news events, which are really strong for now still, once they start to weaken, this could bring about a very, very different dynamic for these financial markets. So can we keep our options open with the indice markets? And if we get a buying opportunity, we'll take it. If prices start to roll back over and we have a shift in narrative, then we will probably look to start selling quite aggressively under those dynamics. So, yeah, let's keep those options open, really, at this point in proceedings. So, okay. So that's just a little bit of an overview, really, of these financial markets, and just a little bit of a breakdown in terms of what our directional bias is. So we go back tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, we go back into those daily timeframes. So in terms of today's trade plan, we can have some kind of overview of these markets. So we did await those US non-farm payroll numbers, and they came in actually pretty strong. We've got mixed market conditions. We've got strong equity markets, strong indices, strong bond yields in terms of the yield curve is higher. And for most of Friday, we had quite a strong US dollar. So we're looking for that US dollar to unwind. So what we can do is, firstly, we want to keep all options open. I think that's just a common sense position, really, for now. Potential further dollar weakness, that's what we can look into. The euro, dollar, the pound, dollar, perhaps the dollar yen, maybe the dollar Swiss would be candidates, really, for seeing whether off the back of Friday's dollar strength trade, we might start seeing some weakness begin to feed in. So we might get some further opportunities this morning now. And there's no reason short term why we wouldn't see probably a little bit more upside for the indices. The quality of the trade and the opportunity may not stack up, but we can leave it in as things currently stand. And like I said, we can probably lean into the more geopolitical kind of macro narrative and see if anything changes there. Like Donald Trump may put something out when he gets out of bed. Like, we really have to be that aware of the market dynamics. And if we keep options open mentally, I'm talking about here more so, if we're not so sort of rigid in our thinking and we've got a bit of flexibility and prices start to rally or move, we can sort of work out whether it's actually a genuine move and whether we want to be a part of it or not. So yeah, these strategies are available to us, and we're just thinking we probably lean into those types of strategies as we go. And just to be a little bit more considered about what we trade and when we trade it, probably more importantly. So I've just posted that there into the chat box, guys. When it comes to narratives, there's aspects of these narratives which are showing up. Very little is leading the narrative race. We kind of flip from positivity around Trump to negativity around Trump. And there's this AI tech rally ticking away in the background, which is positive for markets. And some of the data is still looking really quite positive. We've got this sort of positive economic data in the background. So risk on, indices higher. And the difficulty is where we're not really seeing weakness in the dollar and bond yields. Like, you would assume if you've got a risk on market condition, you're actually seeing risk on and risk off playing out at the same time. So that's what creates a bit of a mixed market dynamic for us. All right. So listen, we let you go, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. Any questions, let us know, and we're going to switch rooms now to the European trading session. We're going to specifically look at the dollar because there might be some good dollar setups. We're looking for dollar weakness, and we'll see if we can take advantage of those. So on that note, we let you go. Thanks for joining us again. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.